The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 169 of the best Reds podcast out there on the internet, if this is the only one you listen to. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. Joining me again today is our good friend, big fan of the Reds, this guy, Jason Linden. How are you today, Jason?
I am well, and it's true. I do like the Reds. They are okay.
Yeah, we kind of like the Reds. Some weeks you wonder why. Some weeks it's more fun than others. This week has been a little of both. And we want to get into some of that. Did you get a chance to see the end of the third game of the Ohio Cup Series, the first one in Cleveland, where the Reds won when they were down to their final out? Did you get a chance to see the ending of that game?
I saw it in a delayed fashion the next day. I was asleep when it actually occurred.
Yeah, big rain delay, and it was. But I have to mention it, and I didn't tell you before we started that I was going to talk about this, but it just occurred to me. I can't let this opportunity pass. I can't miss an opportunity to talk about Billy Hamilton, who scores from first on a single to left to score the go-ahead run. What? Oh, Billy. Billy! Billy! he's so good. He's not as good as I say he is, I know, but... You know, his on-base percentage now is in the neighborhood of league average. His defense is still great. He's helping this team. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. File this under things that I probably should have seen at one point and missed, but apparently there was like a study done, I guess sometime last year, that basically said that because Billy Hamilton is so fast and because he so frequently scores once he gets on as a result of his speed, that like a 300 on base percentage for him is equivalent to like a 350 on base percentage for someone else. He's hitting basically like he hit last year, which is more than enough to like, it's all-star level. Like when you combine his defense and his base running with his, you know, sort of adequate bat, like he's a very good player. And he's also on pace for approximately 7 million stolen bases this year.
Yeah, that's sort of why I've been shooting for that league average number for on-base percentage, because it seems to me that if he can be a league average guy in terms of getting on base, he does so many other things well, and the fact that he can run bases so well, it makes that on-base percentage, it bumps it up, I guess. And I don't know what the math would be on that, how that would work out, but certainly better than your typical league average on-base guy. And I think about Billy Hamilton, this is a thought I had the other day. If this were 1985, Billy Hamilton would already be an all-star. I mean, you know, Vince Coleman was an all-star. He's not Ricky Henderson, but, you know, Ricky Henderson got all the acclaim for getting all the stolen bases. If we were in an era where stolen bases were more valued and people ran more, Billy Hamilton would have even more, even though he's leading the league. So that's a little bit of a function of the era, although on the other hand, he gets a little bit of credit this era because of the advanced the analytics, because his defense is so good and we're able to measure that a little bit better, and his base running is so good. So maybe not, but... So Billy Hamilton's good. That's all I'm asking you to say. Billy Hamilton's good.
Billy Hamilton is good.
Oh, man. All right. Thank you for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is an episode number... Oh, no. Let's talk about some other things. Let's talk about Amir Garrett. You're one of the biggest fans of Amir Garrett that I know. You've been really high on him for a while, higher than most of us. And got some, bad news about Amir Garrett, who today went on the 10-day disabled list with what has been called... right hip inflammation, whatever that is. Brian Price said today that Reds manager Brian Price said that doctors expect him to miss one start, but should be back in time for his next start. Now, we've heard Reds doctors say many times, and it turns out to be something completely different, but where does this rank on your worry scale, Jason?
I mean, if we're saying just missed one start, and if they sound pretty adamant on that, then it's, I'm not too worried. I mean, it happens often enough that players get kind of banged up here or there, and it's like, oh, he needs a few days off. If that's the case, then okay. I can't get too worried about it. You know, the thing about Amir this year is that, like, it's just been home runs, I feel like. I mean, you know, the control is a noted, like, sort of comes and goes thing with him a little bit. He's going to falter on that at times, but he's given up home runs at a rate that I don't think is really sustainable. So I'm not too worried. He doesn't have a big injury history. He doesn't, like, I don't know, you know, guys are going to occasionally get banged up. You know, he, I suppose, probably tweaked his hip or something. I'm certainly an old enough man to know how that feels. So, yeah, no, I can't. The only thing that's stressful about that is that, oh, God, who are they going to start? But in terms of being worried about Amir, I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about who's going to start, but I'm going to ignore Devin Mesoraco, who had the hip problems, and say that this seems to me that if Garrett's going to have some kind of issue that's going to cause me to miss the start, seems to me right hip inflammation is much better than anything relating to his elbow or his shoulder. So, you know, we'll see. Wait and see. Now, the question is, as you say, who's going to start? And the Reds picked up a guy named Jake Buchanan off waivers today and added him to the 40-man roster. He'd been pitching in AAA for the Chicago Cubs. The Reds have talked about maybe him taking that next start, possibly Asher Wojciechowski, who just recently was promoted from AAA Louisville. And, you know, he Asher Wojciechowski'd in his first appearance, which was a very good 3.3 2/3 inning appearance in which he picked up the win. But here we are. This Reds team's been fun. They're sort of still hanging around, you know, playing decent baseball. But we're talking about whether Jake Buchanan or Asher Wojciechowski, two people whose names I had never heard 6 months ago, are going to be getting a start in place of Amir Garrett. Hey. That's my analysis.
Let me just take a minute to talk about something here. And you know, Dick Williams, you've been on the podcast. If you're out there listening, I just want you to understand that it's true that my right shoulder is a bad shoulder, but I believe I can still get the knuckleball over some of the time. And I, you know, school's out. My regular day job is teacher. So, you know, I'm available. Give me a call.
You're available. That's funny. You know what? You might want to stay by your phone. The Reds have four guys that really probably should have been in their opening day starting rotation on the disabled list now, in terms of Anthony DeSclafani, Homer Bailey, Brandon Finnegan, Amir Garrett. That's a starting rotation. That's a good starting rotation. That's on the disabled list for the Reds right now.
Yes.
It just blows my mind. And
did we ever think we would be in a position to say thank God for Scott Feldman?
Exactly. Scott Feldman's been sort of a savior in many ways, and he has pitched well. We make fun of Scott Feldman. He's stepped up when we needed him. But we talk about, oh, Scott Feldman. We've complained about him in the rotation, and you know, people are complaining about Bronson Arroyo. I wrote something about Bronson Arroyo and sort of coming to the end of the road here today, but. We've got Tim Adelman in the rotation now. It's just I find it difficult to complain too much about Bronson Arroyo in the rotation when we're talking about starting Asher Wojciechowski or someone whose name supposedly is Jake Buchanan. I'm pretty sure he exists, but I don't have any proof that there's actually a Jake Buchanan. So how are we supposed to process this? How are the Reds actually continuing to win games occasionally with this starting rotation that really is a AAA starting rotation mostly?
Well, they are sometimes hitting the baseball very hard, and they have this guy named Joseph Daniel Votto who hits third, and he helps a lot. And also Eugenio Suarez is very helpful.
And Billy Hamilton.
Yes, and Mr. Bill Hamilton is true.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about that offense. You're absolutely right. This offense has been incredible this season, and it's been carrying the team. And it just does, to me, I sort of fantasize about what if the Reds had their actual rotation healthy right now. This team,
they'd be in first place.
They'd be right in the thick of it, wouldn't they?
Now they'd be in first place. Let's take a minute here. I'm gonna babble is what I'm gonna do while I take just a second to look at the team pitching staffs on FanGraphs and look at starters and tell you that the Reds are 30th with a team ERA among their starters of 5.95. If the Reds had their projected starting rotation healthy, they would be in first place.
That's amazing. It's amazing. The bullpen's been great. The offense, you know, Wick Terrell over at Red Reporter had a piece earlier today about how the Reds' offensive players lead all the major league teams, every team in FanGraphs wins above replacement, for the position players. The Cincinnati Reds, I mean, you know, the teams at their head are teams that are right in the thick of things, you know, Yankees, Nationals. If this team had just healthy, you know, I'm not asking for them to go out and trade for Clayton Kershaw. Well, okay, I am asking for them to go out and trade for Clayton Kershaw. Maybe they can trade Jake Buchanan for Clayton Kershaw. But if they had just the healthy staff, the guys they currently have on their 40-man roster, I think you're right. I think this is a first-place team.
They have, I mean, the Reds right now have six regulars who are above average hitters, and with the exception of Adam Duvall, who's just been a little bit above average, all six of those regulars, the other five of those regulars, are well above average.
Right.
You know, and then the other two are Jose Peraza and Billy Hamilton. And Billy Hamilton, as we know, brings enormous offensive value on the bases and then value otherwise. They have, what is it, four players with 10 home runs? Surely no one else in baseball has four players with 10 home runs.
No one does, officially. No one else, unless someone's hit one tonight, no one else in baseball has four players. And that's not nothing.
They're very, very good offensive team. And this is the point where I should probably make the following declaration. I hope everyone out there is bracing themselves for this.
I was gonna ask you about this.
I would like to declare that I may have been wrong about Adam Duvall.
That's exactly what I was gonna ask you.
Yeah.
And not to say that Adam Duvall is gonna be a superstar, but Adam Duvall may be the Adam Duvall we saw last year, which is a decent little Adam Duvall, a decent little player. That may be him for a few years.
Yeah, I wrote this thing for Cincinnati magazine. That I assume you saw, because I know that you're my biggest fan and read everything that I write.
Well, I did read that, and that's why I was going to ask you about it.
But I wrote this thing where basically I was looking at Duvall and Schebler, and, you know, they've both gotten out to really relatively good starts this year. And I was like, you know, they're both late bloomers. Let me look at other recent Reds late bloomers, guys who are kind of 25, 26, 27 when they kind of get established in the major leagues, which is late for a player. You know, normally if somebody's really a hot prospect, that tends to happen before the age of 25. You know, even Votto was kind of, at 24, was kind of pushing the line there, but he was still on the side where you think, okay, this is a real prospect. Whereas for Duvall and Schebler, maybe not. So I looked it up, and you know, the guys I found, it was guys like Chris Sabo, Zach Cozart, you know, Todd Frazier. I went back to 1980. And everybody who started out in their first full year with, you know, two wins above replacement or better, which is basically average or better player, really went on to have a pretty okay career. Like, you shouldn't expect these guys to be good for 10 years, but you should expect them to be serviceable and mostly good until they hit free agency. And so seeing that, I was like, you know, and that's kind of what we're seeing from Adam Duvall. He looks like about a 2.5 to 3 win player. You know, Schebler may be a tick better, but, you know, not too much better. That's what you're seeing from them is, you know, and teams need that. You need lots of guys who are just like a little bit above average, because not everyone is an MVP candidate. Not everyone is an all-star. You know, even the best teams, even the Big Red Machine, right, had a few guys that were kind of like just solid. They were solid. They weren't bad. They weren't world beaters, but every team needs those. And Duvall and Schebler seem to be those guys.
And you're right. I think that you may not get the longevity from these guys that show up in the major leagues a little bit late, but they can still have a decent prime, and that's what we're seeing, hopefully, from Duvall. I mean, we're 200 plate appearances into this year, and it's still, you know, it's in the neighborhood of it's sort of what we saw last year, which is a good player. It's an above average hitter who plays good defense. You know, he's not a superstar. He may never, probably never makes another All-Star team, but
At this point, he's coming up on 1,000 plate appearances in the majors, and he's been a tick above average as a hitter, and he's good defensively. And sure, you take that. I mean, he's...
Everybody can't be Joey Votto.
Right. Sadly.
Sadly, yes. And you know, Scott Schebler, the other guy, and I think both you and I have said in the past that we expect Schebler to have a little bit higher ceiling than Duvall, because Schebler's out hitting Duvall right now. And is 2 years younger, and I think that's the difference. Although Schebler got a little bit of a late start as well, and no one expects him to. He's not going to be a Red in 10 years either. But he's a guy I wasn't so sure about. I had hopes because he was great in the minor leagues, mostly except for one year with the Dodgers in AAA, and had a rough start with the Reds last year. We went down to Louisville and hit great. Finished the season well last year, so he's starting to look like a guy that. Maybe he's in the mix for the next, 4 years, maybe the next good Reds team. I'm extremely impressed with Scott Schebler.
I agree. I Schebler also has a reputation. One of the things I really bought into, I suppose I should say, being around the bats and kind of the management and kind of hearing things. One of the things that I've really bought into is just the notion that, like, certainly talent matters a lot, but also kind of the head matters a lot, especially once guys get into AAA or AA. And I have a Delino DeShields interview that'll be incorporated into a piece that addresses some of this, that'll be incorporated into a piece coming up later on. But just the notion that guys who are willing to listen, who are willing to try, who are willing to sort of tinker or listen to coaches are more likely to be successful because they're not so stuck in their head or set in their ways. And, that makes a lot of sense as soon as somebody expresses it to you. It's like, oh, yeah, if player A throws, 95 and player B throws 95, but player A is stubborn and won't listen to anything, and player B is always willing to listen to coaching, who are you going to bet on there? You're going to bet on player B every time. And Schebler definitely has that reputation as somebody who's willing to listen. He's going to do what's asked of him. He wants to... He's easy to get along with, and all of that stuff that you really want in a player. So he has the talent, and he perhaps has the right mindset. So we'll see. But it's hard not to be optimistic about Schebler. He has a really good reputation wherever he goes.
It is, and it's creating a really interesting situation right now because Jesse Winker has started to pound the ball at Louisville. Mm-hmm. And where do you play him? It's a good situation to have, but Duvall and Schebler have not done anything to lose their spots. Necessarily.
No, they really haven't.
And we're both fans of Winker, so it's really going to be an interesting situation to see how the Reds play that out.
Yeah, I mean, the Reds probably have four players right now who are capable of starting in the major leagues and the outfield, and that's really not a bad problem to have.
No, great problem. Let's take a moment while we're talking about the offense to marvel over one Joseph Daniel Votto.
God, he's just perfect.
He started out slow trying to do whatever he was trying to do, but he's got 12 home runs now, second on the team to Schebler's 13. He leads the team in, can you believe it, runs batted in. Got 38 ribeye steaks, 422 on base percentage. I mean, Joey. Slugging percentage almost 600. Joey.
I know.
He's great. He's 33 years old, and he's showing no signs of slowing down. He seems like he's still at the top of his game. That's a Hall of Famer to me.
He's getting really close. I mean,
he's got work to do to get there, but yeah, he's on the trajectory.
Yeah, he's had, sort of career average speaking, he's had a little bit of bad luck this year on balls in play. And I have said several times on Twitter, and I will continue to say it, that I think there's a very good chance we are about to see Joey Votto's best season.
At age 33.
I mean, the power is there like it's maybe never been since his MVP year. The fact that he's just not striking out, that's what's most remarkable. We are currently existing in the era of the strikeout, and Joey Votto is not striking out. He is a power hitter who gets on base a ton, who is not striking out. And, okay, here, I pulled this up, so we have to listen to this. This is Joey Votto over the last calendar year, because everybody listen, because it's beautiful. Over the last calendar year, Joey Votto has had 200 hits exactly, 42 doubles, 2 triples, 35 homers, 116 runs, 111 runs batted in. He has a .350 average, a .455 on base percentage, and a .614 slugging percentage. I mean, holy crap.
He's dreamy. That's like unfathomable. That's, you know, we're talking Ted Williams here.
Ted Williams. It's Babe Ruth.
Yes. I mean,
he's the best. I mean, I know people are going to get grouchy about this, because and they're going to want to argue about whatever hitter means, but Joey Votto is the best hitter who has ever played for the Reds. And we should all feel privileged to watch him swing the bat every day.
And even if you want to argue that he's not the best hitter that ever played with the Reds, and I'm not going to argue that because I think the case is being made every day and we're so fortunate to watch him. But even if you don't believe he is, he's in the conversation. And if you can't be excited to watch that every single night with this Reds team, I don't know what's wrong with you, because it's the single most exciting thing. He's the single most exciting player to watch, I think, probably in my lifetime. And I was a huge Barry Larkin fan. And, I mean, he's no Billy Hamilton. We're excluding Billy Hamilton. He's sort of in the pantheon. But Votto is just, I'm going to have to lean on you, stay on you to, you need to write something at Red Lake Nation about that over the last calendar year, because that, I didn't realize it was, I knew it was good. I didn't realize it was that good. That is just, it's mind blowing.
You remember, right, last year in April and May, he slumped really badly. And then basically the calendar turned to June and he turned it on. So in terms of calendar year, like, he's been good in April and May this year. And so we're getting to that point now where it's been a full year of Joey Votto being on, except for what, like a week in April this year.
Right.
Like, he's been on for a full calendar year, basically, at this point. So his numbers are just absurd.
And again, you're starting to talk about it. It's not a small sample size at this point. You know, it's a guy who is why I've always thought he would age well is because he's such a thoughtful hitter. He really cares about marginal improvements and ways that he can not just improve what he's doing, but counteract what pitchers are trying to do to get him out, and just always constantly trying to tinker and trying to figure out, trying to smooth things out and improve. And so, you know, I don't know if he's going to have his best season. He looks like he's on track for it, but I would not be surprised if it took a while before the aging curve really sort of started to hammer him a little bit. And that might mean Hall of Fame.
I agree. Well, you were talking about the Hall of Fame. I really do need to write a thing about Votto for Red Leg Nation sometime soon. Because, you know, I know everybody at this point, I think, knows that I do this coffee and Votto thing, and especially in the summer when school's out, where I sit down with my cup of coffee and I stare at Joey Votto stats and say things about them on Twitter and basically swoon.
What a glorious way to start the day.
Yeah. But, you know, I was looking at this and, you know, one of the things about Votto and his career numbers is, I mentioned this earlier, he did get kind of a relatively late start. So his career numbers for this age don't necessarily always stack up against, say, like Johnny Bench or whatever. So I was like, well, what if I just look at, like, you know, these particular 10 full seasons? And in that case, he basically stacks up against everybody except Joe Morgan. And Joe Morgan is a special guy. I mean, you know, Joe Morgan was basically Joey Votto, only not quite as good with the bat, but also playing like Gold Glove caliber defense at second base with speed. So, like, you know, Joe Morgan was better than Joey Votto. I'm not going to claim otherwise. But.
And it's not a criticism of Votto to say he was not as good as Joe Morgan, because who was?
No, Joe Morgan's one of the greatest players in the history of baseball. He's the greatest second baseman ever.
Yes.
But no, it's remarkable. And, you know, at this point, you know, generally speaking, 60 wins above replacement is considered kind of the threshold for the Hall of Fame. Votto's currently at 48.5. I mean, he'll clear 50 this year easily. He'll be probably 52, 53 at least when the season ends. And so then he's got, let's see, what is this? He's got 18, 19, he's got 6 years left on that contract. And you're telling me he can't get 10 wins above replacement, 8 wins above replacement in 6 years?
I'm not telling you that.
The longer he keeps this up, the more he potentially works himself into sort of a first-tier, you know, type Hall of Famer where it's really just a matter of age. I looked at this a bunch last year, and 36 seems to be the age for first baseman. Like, the great first basemen have kept it up till age 36. And then I think, if I'm remembering correctly, everyone who's not Stan Musial kind of seems to taper off after about then. But if he can keep it going for another 3 or 4 years, like he has been putting up 5, 6, 7 wins above replacement, in a couple of years, there's not going to be any doubt. And people are not going to be asking if Joey Votto is a Hall of Famer. They're just going to be trying to guess when exactly he will get inducted.
Right. It's just going to be, it's going to be taken for granted. Let me just to veer away just a moment, because here's something that really just amazes me, and it's not necessarily Reg related, but yeah, Votto is going to get to 50 wins above replacement.
Mike Trout.
Mike Trout is already over 50 wins above replacement in his career, and he's 25 years old.
Yeah.
That is not possible.
It's insane.
It's not possible. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. It's... No, yeah, I know. It's the only players with more wins above replacement than Mike Trout by age 25 are Ty Cobb and Mickey Mantle. And odds are, by the end of his age 25 season, which is what this is, Mike Trout's going to pass them both.
Ty Cobb and Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
I wonder if, and I don't listen to any Angels podcasts, but I wonder if there are Angels podcasts out there where they're saying the same thing we say about Votto, which is, you've got to watch this guy every day. This is possibly the best player in the history of baseball.
I mean, if he doesn't get hurt or experience some sort of strange decline, Mike Trout is the best player in baseball history, period.
Oh, if he stays healthy, I don't see any way that he's not. I mean, literally, we're talking Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, we're talking Willie Mays. He is certainly in that conversation, but also probably higher. I mean, think about Ichiro Suzuki. He has almost the same number of wins above replacement in his career as Ichiro, and he has one-third the number of games played as Ichiro. And Ichiro's a great player. Ichiro's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
It boggles the mind.
It boggles the mind. So, but we're not here to talk about Mike Trout, even though we could really talk about him, because he's fascinating. Let me pose something else to you before. There's another thing I want to get to with the pitchers that we missed a moment ago. But since we're on the offense, you said earlier, you know, the Reds have a bunch of above average guys, and we sort of talked about Duvall and Schebler being, you know, good major league players, slightly above average, maybe not superstars, but certainly capable major league players. And the Reds have that sort of around the lineup a little bit, along with Joey Votto, who's way above average. And of course, Zach Cozart is, I mean, it's a little bit of an outlier. He's probably not this good, but he, I think, is a legitimate offensive player at this point. I'm convinced with what he's done when healthy over the last 3 years that he's a legit offensive player at this point. But to me, and the Reds have had one of the best offenses in baseball this year, but to me, the key with this offense being a good offense and possibly being one of the best ones in baseball, it is over there at the third, at the hot corner with Eugenio Suarez. If Eugenio Suarez at age 25, again, this is a guy that came up young, not like Duvall and Schebler we were talking, or Sabo or Frazier. If Eugenio Suarez is really something close to what we're seeing this year at age 25, that may be another cornerstone in the lineup that gives you a chance to combine him with Votto and gives this offense a chance to really be something special. Am I off base? Is there a chance of that happening?
You're completely on base, and I think it's legit. I've been, as you know, a Suarez booster for some time, and you kind of have too. And I just, you know, he's kind of turned the corner. He's got the plate discipline under control, which was really the question once he got called up. He always had it in the minors. But he didn't necessarily showcase it in the majors to the same extent. But he seems to have that in line now. He's hitting for the kind of power that he sometimes hit for in the minors. And, you know, I mean, anyone who's finished growing up, I think any male certainly realizes that, like, when you're 20, your body is not the same as it is when you're 25. You kind of, I think almost everybody just kind of, there's just this bulk that naturally puts – It just accumulates. And I think he's got that now. And so he's got the power is coming more. And and he's comfortable at third base. He's a well above average third baseman now, maybe one of the best third basemen in the league. And he's hitting. And there's nothing in his numbers that says that this isn't legit. There's nothing that says we should be skeptical other than maybe sample size, because we're still not quite at 200 plate appearances this year. But I think he certainly has tossed himself into all-star caliber player, and the longer this goes on, if this goes on for another quarter of a season, we might have to start talking about him in MVP terms.
Well, Dare to Dream, yeah, but you're right, small sample size, yes, you can make that argument, but you look at all the other peripheral numbers, and I can't find anything, and I've looked. I can't find anything in terms of his rate stats, nothing that is so crazy out of line that makes you think this is, he may not be this good, and he's been amazing this year, but he may be in this neighborhood, and that, when you're talking about a 25-year-old, you're starting to talk about a guy, like you say, certainly an all-star level guy. So you have guys like Votto and Suarez as I'm not going to call Suarez elite, but if he has made that leap to all-star.
Hey, if Suarez is going to play third base like he is and hit 296, 375, 556, which is what he's hitting right now, he's elite.
Well, his WAR stats, his wins above replacement stats so far this year are elite. There's no question about that to this point. And you know, we're 45 games in. We're starting to get there to where it's a meaningful sample. But you talk about those, he and Votto, then you got Duvall and Schebler, that mostly just power guys, but can hit with, I would say, elite power. Billy Hamilton doing what he does. You know, that's a fascinating lineup. And I've seen lots of things from Devin Mesoraco now that he's back. I'm very encouraged by Devin Mesoraco's, you know, it's only 18 games that he's been back, but he doesn't necessarily look like 2014 Devin Mesoraco, but he looks like above average hitter Devin Mesoraco, which is... Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to be able to plug him into this lineup that was already doing well. So lots of positives on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I agree completely. And Devin very much looks like what we wanted to see. And if he keeps it up, you know.
And you and I try to be hopeful. We try to be optimistic. We try to be upbeat a little bit. But I don't think it's unreasonable to really say, oh, man, when this rotation gets healthy, and in less than a month, we're told Homer Bailey and Brandon Finnegan could be back. When this and Garrett should be back, hopefully for his next start. When this pitching staff gets healthy, who knows? Who knows? I think this is going to continue to be a fun season the rest of the way. I really, truly believe that.
I agree, and I mean, you know, if say in a month go well, and the rotation is Bailey, Finnegan, Garrett, Feldman, other. That's not bad.
Yes, it's not. It's not, you know, the mid-90s Braves. It's not the best rotation you're going to find, but it's not bad. But
now, well, with this offense, that'll keep you in the game most nights.
Right. Absolutely. That brings me to the question that I really wanted to address here, which is this. And I don't really have an answer. I don't know if you do or not, but it's something that baffles me. Tim Adelman, Asher Wojciechowski, this guy, Jake Buchanan, that supposedly exists, Feldman, Arroyo, with all the injuries the Reds have had, and they have seven guys on the DL, six are pitchers, with all the injuries to the pitching staff, I can't come up with any explanation from my end, and I will concede that I don't have all the information that the Reds have. But I don't understand why at least one of Cody Reed and Robert Stevenson aren't getting an opportunity to start in the big leagues. And before you jump in on that, because I know you've got an opinion here, I know Reed has not been successful as a big league pitcher. He needs to learn to pitch in the big leagues, in my mind. Stevenson, I sort of got the sense when I had that conversation with Dick Williams for the podcast that maybe Stevenson might not be in the long-term plans in the rotation. And the Reds may have reasons for that. But if ever there were an opportunity to get one of those guys, if one of those guys they think is going to be a long-term starter, to get them some major league innings, boy, now seems like the time. And so I tossed you about 10 different questions there all wrapped up in one, I think. What are your thoughts?
Well, okay, I'll start with Cody Reed, who I think is probably the nicer answer, I guess. I don't know anything with Cody Reed necessarily. What I would guess is this, and this is pure theorizing on my part. I would guess that getting knocked around as badly as he did last year probably messed with his head a little bit. And I would not be surprised if they had sent him down to Louisville basically to get his head on straight. Like, he's got the talent. I think he's capable of getting people out. And I would generally agree that he needs to learn to pitch at the major league level at this point. But he also probably, you know, it's been a while, I think, since Cody Reed has really experienced success. And I think if you go a while as a professional in anything where you feel like you're failing day after day after day at your job, eventually that's going to get to you. So I would not be surprised. And he has a reputation, I will say this, as someone who is not a pouter. He's very coachable. He's very, you know, willing to listen. But they may just be sending him down, not as punishment, but just as a go down to Louisville, have some good starts, you know, have a good run, and then we'll bring you back and we'll give you a go. You know, it's notable, I think, that they sent him down to Louisville to start. And, you know, he has started there and he's done pretty okay so far in his starts.
Okay. All that is reasonable. And that may be exactly.
Well, let me keep going.
Okay. Are you suggesting I interrupted you there, Jason?
Yeah, I am. And so, you know, I take that. And again, you know, we're still very much it's not entirely about 2017. It is largely about 2018 still. So they may really want 2018 Cody Reed much more than 2017 Cody Reed. With Robert Stevenson, I think it also says a lot that they have not sent him back down to Louisville, even though, frankly, he struggled about as much as Cody Reed has in the majors. They have not sent him down to Louisville to work as a starter. I would not be surprised if they had said something to Robert Stevenson along the lines of, when you show us that you can throw strikes, then we might give you an opportunity to start. But you have not shown us this yet. I kind of think Robert Stevenson is in ultimatum territory where he may, as you know, to be in a reliever unless he proves otherwise. Whereas I think Cody Reed, they probably are still looking at the development angle for him and trying to make sure that he's ready to go when 2018 starts.
Okay. And Stevenson, I think that all the available evidence, certainly, I think probably leads me to the same conclusion there. I'm starting to wonder if he's maybe on the outs. Not necessarily, they haven't necessarily given up on him being a starter, but he's going to have to show them something that he has not shown them. But with Cody Reed, everything you say is certainly a possibility. And again, the Reds know more than I do, I'm going to presume. But I'm looking at a team that is starting Tim Adelman. I didn't mention a moment ago, Luis Alberto Bonilla. Let me just say that again because that's fun to say. Luis Alberto Bonilla. Oh, man. He might be my favorite player now. But starting Adelman, Bonilla, they're starting possibly Asher Wojciechowski, they're starting Bronson Arroyo, they're starting Scott Feldman. Those five guys, I would be surprised if any of those five are starters for the Reds on the next good Reds team. Cody Reed could be that starter, a starter on the next good Reds team. And, again, they may know more about how to effectuate Cody Reed's development as a starter than I do. I will concede that. But what an opportunity to get big league starts and learn on the big league level how to get out big league hitters. And instead, they're choosing Adelman, Bonilla, Wojciechowski, Arroyo, Feldman. And when you put it that way, it really boggles the mind that the Reds, I don't want to say they've given up on Cody Reed. They certainly haven't, but they may have given up on first half 2017 Cody Reed. And it seems like an awfully good opportunity to let him struggle. What's it going to hurt in the big leagues unless they think it's going to hurt, I don't know, his psyche or something?
I mean, I think, you know, of those you listed, Feldman is the only one who's really a major league pitcher. Sad as that is. But gosh, you know, as you've noted, like, Lord, I mean, let's just run through them. Disco's hurt. Homer's hurt. Finnegan's hurt. Sal Romano's hurt. I'm probably missing somebody.
Well, Amir Garrett at this point.
Yeah, Amir's hurt, but hopefully just for one start. Right. That's a major league starting rotation right there. That's a pretty good major league starting rotation, probably.
That's pretty ugly. I can't. It just seems to me that it's a great opportunity to say, Cody, we know you're going to struggle. We believe in you. You're our guy. We expect you to be a stud for this organization for in future years. Let's get this thing figured out right now on the Major League pitching staff with Major League coaches, with a manager who is a former well-respected Major League pitching coach. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm dumb, I know, but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer.
You're right about Stevenson, though. I mean, I think Stevenson is much more – it's much easier to understand Stevenson, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Do you think – I mean, because the assumption was, and I think probably the accurate assumption was, that Amir Garrett went down for a couple weeks to Louisville because of a service time issue. Do you think they might be looking to hold on, see if they can grab that extra year of service time out of Cody Reed also? I wonder if that might factor into it.
It's certainly a possibility. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's certainly a possibility, although I would think we're getting close to the time where that would be – where he would have –
Yeah, I mean, he was up for a while last year.
Yeah, yeah.
So
– That's an interesting possibility. Yeah, that's when I say we don't have – we have imperfect information. We don't know how those conversations are happening. And you want to trust the front office guys, but oh, this is an ugly rotation right now.
It very much is,
and it's even more frustrating. We've seen ugly rotations in Cincinnati before. We lived through the Jimmy Haynes era, but they got such a good offense right now. The bullpen has continued to be outstanding, and so it hurts to see this one area. The defense is good; just this starting rotation is really the only thing that's holding them back, and it's so bad that it's really holding them back.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's, you know, who thought last year that this year we'd be saying thank God for the bullpen, but
yeah, I know. Gosh, the bullpen was the bane of all of our existences last year. But it's fun bullpen this year. That bunch out there, that's exciting. Whenever they come to the game, it's exciting. Unfortunately, they're coming into the game in the fourth inning far too often.
Yeah, if we could get them coming in the sixth or the seventh, we'd really have a lot more working.
Yeah, really. But, you know, everybody said 2018, a lot of people said 2019, but a lot of people were pointing to 2018 as the year the Reds would be back in contention, and it's getting to the point now where, and again, maybe I'm too optimistic here, but I don't think you have to squint too hard to see the Reds being legit next year if they can get the rotation together. I think they, you know, we're not talking about maybe beating the Cubs, and we're maybe not talking about a World Series team next year. But we're talking about a competitive team that's right in the thick of things, and man, that's fun. That's fun to me.
That is fun, and I mean, you know, it's also important to remember that there are a couple of, you know, thinking about next year, there are also still a couple of pretty highly touted prospects who are right on the cusp of sort of knocking on the door. I don't think anybody thinks Tyler Molly's going to be in Double A much longer. Nick Senzel is certainly making a case to be moved up to Double A. So there are more guys coming. This is a system that, relatively speaking, is loaded right now. And, you know, sure, there's stuff to sort out with the pitching. But, yeah, it doesn't take really much effort at all to think that the Reds might have something going really sooner rather than later.
If you're down, it seems to me right now, if you're down on the Reds the next couple of years, if you're not buying stock in the Reds the next two or three years, you're really searching for something to be negative about, to be upset about, because it may not pan out, but most of the signs, I'm not going to say all the signs, most of the signs are extremely positive. This organization, after sort of struggling for most of my life, they've been bad, and for the last few years, they've been drifting in the wind, but finally, the trajectory is good. I think so, anyway.
I would tend to agree. I think this. I mean, look. Does anybody really think this team is worse than last year? I mean, it's a much improved team over last year. They're a heck of a lot more fun to watch.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and even if they have a losing record again this year, this team is so much more enjoyable to watch on a day-to-day basis than last year. Last year was a struggle. This year, man, up and down the line, if there are guys you can get excited about or that you're interested to watch, or it's a fun team. You know, they're not a championship team yet, but it's a fun team to me. And maybe that's because I've been beaten down the last 3 years, but this is as fun a team as we've had in a while, and I'm enjoying it. Win or lose, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I agree.
Preferably win, though, right? if it's between win and lose, preferably win would be better.
Yeah, I would generally speaking prefer win. I would say win is usually the way to go.
All right, one last question for you. Well, first of all, is there anything else you think that we haven't touched on that you'd like to dig into?
No, I think we've covered.
Yeah, we beat this dead horse enough.
Yeah, I mean, I was just looking. I mean, this is just interesting. I was clicking around on things when we're doing these, that looking for positive signs about the Reds pitchers. The Reds are like slightly above average as a team. Their pitchers are in terms of how often they strike out opposing players. They're second to last in Major League Baseball in walks, which pretty much anyone could tell you who has paid any attention. But, you know, file that under walks will haunt. And if the walks go down, if they get the control, so which is basically kind of meshes with, I think, how we all probably feel, which is there are a lot of guys who can throw the ball pretty darn hard, but they don't always throw it where they want to. And they're young, so that's still okay. It's different if they're 29 and not doing that, but they're 22, 3, 4, 5. So, you know, there's hope. They have the capacity to strike guys out. They just have to make sure they get it over the plate a little more often.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me name three guys for you here as we wrap things up here, because this is the last question I wanted to ask you. And in terms of, here's the three names I'm going to give you. Ricky Henderson, Tim Raines, Billy Hamilton. Out of those three, who's the best leadoff hitter?
Ricky Henderson.
Jason, it's been nice having you on your final appearance on the Red Leg Nation Radio podcast, episode number 169. So long. I want to thank all of you for listening to us, downloading, listening to us goof around and have a good time talking about this Cincinnati Reds team. They are fun. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, we're everywhere. Subscribe to us. Give us a rating and a review. That helps other people find us. We always say, tell your friends if you like us. If you don't like us, keep your mouth shut. But help spread the word, because we're having a fun time here every week talking about the Reds. And I know if you're listening to us, you must love this team like we do. Else, why would you waste your time? You can follow Jason on Twitter at Jason Linden. I'm at Dotson C. You can follow us all on Twitter at Red Leg Nation. And then come to redlegnation.com every single day, where we've been writing about the Cincinnati Reds every single day, day after day, year after year, for more than a dozen years. Jason, appreciate you joining me again, buddy.
Always glad to do it, Chad.
And I may consider letting you come back on. Oh, of course. I couldn't do it without you, man.
So great.
We have a great time every time, and I look forward to the next time we get to talk. For Jason Linden, this is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from redlegnation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app, and join us for discussion of all things Reds at redlegnation.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.